PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
This episode of the Off Course Podcast is brought to you by Tour Edge. Their Exotics golf ball offers a three-piece cast urethane cover with 318 dimples that promote solid launch off the tee and great greenside action without sacrificing feel. The high-speed Kinetochore promotes big distance and stability through the wind, which is something I am always looking for. Check them out at touredge.com. Hello, you golfing legends, and welcome back to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is a good buddy of mine. His name is Austin Tudor, Goat Cup legend, Callaway fame. We all know him. We all love him. Some people fear him at this point, especially when they're on the other team. Frankly, I just enjoy being a teammate of his. Austin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Canada. I'm glad to be here and proudly daily use my Yeti Goat Cup from 2023 when you and I were at Ballyhack together.
It's so fantastic. You know,
say it's what's in the bag still.
It's amazing how quickly time flies and the memories that are made. I actually, not too long ago, watched the video that you made of me acting like a fool when I hold out in the rain in absolutely beautiful Ballyhack presentation. And man, just memories flood in, you know?
Yeah, when I talk about that round, Dan, I still think about it, how it took us like, the first hole took us like 40 minutes because it was cart path only and straight up the hill and in the rain and everything. And then we get to, I think, what was that? The third hole? Second hole?
It was which one? Like
the one pulled out of.
That was number four. Yeah.
Fourth, that's right. Yeah. It's been obviously 3 years since we played it.
It's been a minute.
So,
right.
No, I'll never forget that too. And it's funny you say that. I was on my YouTube just like going through and I was like, oh, my post. And I sure enough clicked on it. I was like, oh, this is still up. This is wild. So I kind of got to relive that moment for a little bit. But, you know, walking to the green with you and you pulling it out of the hole, that was special.
That's so much fun. That was a great moment. And I think what I love about it is there's something about golf, playing golf, the memories you hold on to that, like, it doesn't take much to remember all of it. And I think of all the things I forget being the advanced age that I am at this point. And it's like, dude, you asked me about a golf round I had at this specific golf course 3 years ago, and I've got every shot still in my mind. You know, it's golf has a funny way, you know?
Especially those special rounds, man. Yeah. When I played down at CNR and I was lucky enough to have a really, really good day, and I can still remember every single shot. And even though you make 8 birdies, the bogey that ruined that card, that's the one that sticks out the most for some reason, right?
That's great. And I remember our first round together at Aviara. For whatever reason, that one really stands out. It just must be the company. There must be something about you that people just don't realize. It's worth their time to be around you. I think that's what it is.
Well, I think, you know, when I think about the game as a whole, you know, when I'm out there nowadays, it's not so much about what can I do, how can I, you know, the level of competition. It's more about the experience and having a good time with the people you're with, soaking in that moment. So whenever I'm out there, that's kind of what I focus on. If the good golf decides to show up, that's just the positive benefit at this point. As a dad, as you know, like we're not out there a ton. So.
Yeah, and we're not on a baseball diamond, which sounds like we both got the plague for right now, which is good and bad. But
yeah, that's quite a bit. Yeah, watching the boys level up is great, but 4 days a week at the ball fields takes away from our golf games a little bit.
Yeah, when's Callaway making baseball bats? That's what I want to know.
That's a great question.
Triforce, I mean, space in a baseball bat could be electric.
That major bag we did was pretty sweet with the it was very baseball inspired, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit about what's in your bag, but I feel like we can't discuss it just yet. There's more to the show than specifically some parts of the bag. And it sounds like if you look in it, it looks like you play every day still. So we'll have to get to that eventually. But you guys sent me over some visuals and a little bit of a product guide on this new set of fairways that are coming out. And, you know, I immediately had questions. And I think
I've noticed that Callaway has a really good way of reacting to the things that are going on. And there's this obscene, insane, ludicrous desperation from golfers to loft up in their fairway woods right now that I don't understand. I mean, long live the long iron is what I like to say. But I'm fully aware that I am in the minority here. And managing that is probably... I can see why I would play second fiddle to some of this. So I think before we get into the new product, I'd love to hear from you how Callaway is seeing the reaction to golfers right now from a fairway perspective. Because, I mean, Quantum kills it. You've had great fairway woods for a long time now. There seems to be this sort of obsession to not just get into fairways, but expand it. It's weird.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I think what golfers are learning is there's a lot more forgiveness. There's a lot more carry distance. There's a lot more launch that comes from a high lofted fairway wood. There's a lot more playability and ease of play when it comes to those high launch, high lofted fairway woods. And everybody right now is really trying to figure out that top of the bag and how do they blend from, you know, driver all the way through wedge. And it's really about maximizing the performance and not just the distance. It's how can I be my most consistent to play my best golf? And I think that's where we're seeing a lot of that. I mean, it's been tour validated, right? We've seen the creep in of 5, 7, even 9 woods on tour. And if those guys can play it, surely it's going to help, you know, us aspirational golfers, moderate to avid golfers perform better from longer range. The whole idea about those clubs is being able to get there, right? And then being able to stay there. Like, let's hit it high. Let's land it soft. Let's have that green stopping power to be able to have a chance at birdie where, you know, maybe that 4-iron in their younger days, or even the newer golfers, that's just not a playable club for them anymore, right? So you start to see some drop off in distance, especially on the carry distance side of things. Launch gets lower. It all of a sudden, you're seeing a 4, 5, and 6-iron almost stand on top of each other in a bag. So when you start to add a little bit more, the titanium faces are a little bit hotter than a steel face, right? A little bit more forgiveness when you can pull that CG back in the club head. An iron's only, you know, so big. You pull that CG back, obviously that's going to help us get the ball up in the air. So lower CG, higher launch, and then you add a little bit of length. You know, fairway woods are obviously a little bit longer than a standard 4 or 5 iron. So you add a little bit of length there as well, you're going to get more distance out of it. And again, a longer range club maybe needs a little bit more forgiveness. And that's where I think they're finding, hey, there's a real opportunity here in my bag to maybe capitalize on where my 4 and 5 iron were, you know, let's say that was going 175 and 182. They're on top of each other at that point. So then it becomes, what do I play from this distance? You add in maybe a 7-wood into that conversation, and now they know exactly what club to play. So I think that's where we're really seeing it all. Our Apex UWs are doing really well too, but and that's, you know, typically more of your avid golfer, lower to mid handicap. But where we're seeing it is these intermediate golfers get into the high lofted fairway woods. And it's a great move. I mean, not everybody's thinking about, oh, I need to be that guy that hits a 4-iron off the tee. They want to be able to hit the green. And if that's the best tool and the best resource to do it, I'm all about it.
Yeah. The funny part about golfers are they're reactionary and they're defensive and they are creatures of habit. And there's an apparent threat when someone looks into their bag, like, oh God, he's looking at my bag. Is he going to like what I'm playing? Or is he going to hate what I'm playing? Does he love this product? What does it feel like? It feels like you're being threatened at that moment when someone's judging what's in your bag. And I'm pretty confident that's why a lot of changes are challenging to apply, using a more forgiving wedge, for example, a mallet putter, definitely not pointing at myself on any of these things because I would never. But at the top of the bag, it's like the number of head covers used to be such a threat to people. The idea that I can only have three total head covers in my bag. Otherwise, people are going to look at me funny. And what I've always appreciated about the Callaway profile is you have sort of ways around some of these elements that would normally feel threatening for people. I think Heavenwood's a really good example of that. I think UW's a really good example of that. Things that promote launch, promote a little bit of extra distance, despite the user not really fully comprehending what's actually in their hands at the time. You know, there's these little things that sort of cheat their way into something that really works for them. And I feel like in 2026, there's been a pretty significant shift in people's mentality. I see a ton of talk about Seven Woods and Nine Woods and, you know, a lot of variety there. I'd love some perspective on that, whether you guys are seeing that the same way. But then additionally, I'd also love to know from a tour perspective, are they experimenting? Are they adding these clubs in where people can now say, oh, okay, you know, that's pretty interesting. Maybe I should do that.
Yeah, that's kind of exactly what I touched on earlier is like, you're seeing tour adoption across the board in like a specialty seven wood piece, right? That has fallen in. There's been nine woods added. There's been more seven and nine woods added than there have been five woods added when you combine those two. There's something about that spot in the bag that every player at every level is benefiting from. And when you look at like Quantum Max Fairways, we were talking about this earlier. You've got the five, the seven, the nine, the heaven, the 11, right? We've got any type of top of the bag solution there where golfers that need that help and that launch, that peak height, that carry distance, they can benefit from it. And I totally understand why you would do it. I haven't quite gotten there yet. You know, UW's kind of been my sweet spot, but I used to be that same way. It was a driver head cover and a three wood head cover. And then it was a three iron. And that was what I played for years and years and years. And then adding in a UW has changed the game. You know, I can hit a green from 230, 240 if I need to, right? Like that's what these clubs are supposed to do. They're supposed to give you that option. They're supposed to give you that long range top of the bag option.
Yeah. I remember way back in the day. And by way back, I mean like 25 years ago, I had very specifically a three wood and a five wood in the bag and then immediately two irons. And I thought that was it. And then I was introduced to the concept of a hybrid. Back then, like any hybrid you hit, if you hit any sort of a draw, it was like a bullet hook left. And that slowly shifted into something totally different where hybrids suddenly meant more forgiveness, more performance, more balance, as opposed to these like little bullet trains that go down and hopefully don't fall over. So there's been a really interesting evolution of the hybrid story, but I feel like we're now just catching up of, oh, well, also three woods can do that, what you can't do with a hybrid, and can continue to send that and navigate that weight more back and promote a little bit more spin. Do you feel like people are seeing that now and reacting to that? Like, hey, maybe this hybrid isn't the play. Maybe I just continue to extend my woods now just based on those two things, or is it more exploratory than that?
No, I think you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, we're seeing kind of a slight departure from the hybrid category from golfers into these high lofted fairway woods. And what I think is really great about the Quantum line, you've got the step sole, which allows that perfect turf interaction where that very end, the backside of the head is not going to have that drag anymore. So when that step sole is working, it steps down in, it's almost like you're playing a hybrid, but you've got the forgiveness aspect and opportunity of a fairway wood. So adding those two together, then you add in what we have in Speedway 2.0, where you've got that heavier material up towards the front of the face, where we've noticed through a lot of testing, through a lot of data, golfers hit it low on the face, especially with fairway woods and hybrids, irons as well, but golfers are afraid to get down and dig. So we've added mass there to help control and maintain that ball speed, not only on just off-center strikes, but on center, just lower on the face. So you add that in conjunction with step sole, you've got a little bit of a top of the bag weapon at that point.
So you guys have obviously acknowledged and recognized this, but not every shoe fits the same way. And there is a certain level of need for different types of clubs. One thing I've noticed when it comes to different irons I've played, because I love having like a more forgiving iron in the four position and then like more demanding irons down the bag from there. What I love about that is I want simple, easy launch that doesn't balloon, but also isn't hard to hit. And what I think is a challenge is when you don't have that sort of profile, that back launching profile, is you lose a lot of that launch perspective you're looking for in an iron, and you're forced to create it yourself as opposed to having it created for you. But as well as the spin side of things, like I've hit plenty of irons throughout the years where the performance is there through and through, but the spin doesn't measure what I'm trying to do with that particular shot. And I'm wondering is, well, I obviously know the answer to this, but it seems like as golfers or the certain types of golfers shift in these higher lofted products, there is a for sure need for people to introduce greater spin or potentially greater launch with that profile, right?
Absolutely. Everybody wants to be able to cover that bunker on the left to get to that pin. And it doesn't matter what their playability, you know, their ability of play is, that everybody wants to see that. And if a high lofted fairway wood is the thing that's going to be able to do it for them, then that's what's going to happen. It's going to work great for them.
So enter mini spinner.
Enter mini spinner.
So there are a couple heads in the new concept or in the new lineup that sort of continue the quantum profile, or are you looking at these sort of segmented away from quantum overall?
No, so this is, we're literally calling it the quantum mini spinner, and it's a great product that we ported in from our Japan team. It's kind of born out of the LPGA Japan tour. There was a need from a certain player, and they were seeing that they just weren't getting the spin from those longer approach shots into the green. So our Japan team did a ton of work with our R&D team here and developed the Quantum Mini Spinner. And that's a 7-wood, 9-wood, and an 11-wood. And the unique piece on this is the carbon sole construction. So traditional fairways, we're putting carbon on the top, right? And steel down on the bottom, so that the mass is lower. With this, the build is essentially flipped, where you have now a carbon sole and a steel top. So now that carbon sole construction is lighter here, raising the center of gravity up. Therefore, center of gravity high equals more spin.
That's wild. I have pictures here. I'm like feverishly looking at them right now, because you can see the material on the sole. But yeah, now that I'm looking at the top line, and respectfully, companies have done a great job of hiding material product with paints, things like that, over the years. But wow, what an interesting concept. And it's very visual on each of these heads. I think the really interesting starting point of that is you mentioned the LPGA. And I don't know that there's a better place to learn about what is needed from a launch and spin perspective than there, because those ladies are unbelievably competent with hybrids, with woods, with driver. Like, seeing their long game is something to truly admire. So getting that feedback from them was probably very helpful, and way more relatable for a lot of golfers.
Yeah, especially from a swing speed perspective, right? Like, that's exactly where you look at it. And when I'm thinking about it, you know, we have optimized the construction of this for spin. So you take the carbon sole. Obviously, we have our AI machine. It's very robust. So we pull that lever that says, okay, let's manipulate the face structure, that variable thickness that we do to promote spin. So we pull that lever down. It's not necessarily about distance. Let's pull that lever of spin down or spin up so that we get more spin out of the face. There's all of these things that come together all the way down to a 3/4-inch shorter setup. Creating that creates more spin, right? So you're going to play that a little bit more steep than you would a traditional fairway wood. All of those things come together on top of a deeper face to just create the ultimate spin machine when it comes to a long, you know, a we'll call it a high lofted fairway wood in that 7, 9, and 11. On top of it all, we're calling it the scoring wood. right? So we want you to be confident whenever you're putting this in the bag. Take on those greens that you maybe couldn't before, where, you know, you'd stand up on a 175 yard par three and you've got a bunker left, you've got a little bit of green to work with in front of you, but it shoots out at like this mid trajectory, hits the front of the green and rolls off the back. Well, what this is going to enable you to do is to have additional stopping power. So when it does hit that front of the green, it's going to have more spin and help have more green stopping power. So we're trying to get you closer to the hole from longer range.
That's pretty interesting. When you talk about heads like Heavenwood, for example, if people are getting a little bit confused, well, what's the difference between what a Heavenwood accomplish versus what something like a mini spinner would accomplish? How do you help them connect the dots to where it would apply for their game?
Well, the easy one is the setup, right? So the actual composition of the club. Heavenwood is basically the length of a 5-wood, the loft of a 7-wood, and the size of a 3-wood. So it's kind of like, it's called a Heavenwood because it brings everything together in this beautiful, harmonious setup, right? That's a great product for somebody that is just specifically needing launch, but wants to play something that's more like a 3-wood. Where this comes in is totally different. So we're getting closer to the hole when you're talking about mini spinner. You're attacking. Heavenwood's great maybe for an off-the-tee club, a super long range. Hey, I'm going to try to get to this par five. Now we're talking about scoring woods in the mini spinner. You've got the 7, the 9, and 11. You're replacing 4 and 5 irons, 6 and 7 irons, 7 and 8. Like, we're going down deep into the bag now for golfers that maybe struggle with those long to mid irons.
Yeah, I think the point you made, the scoring fairway wood is a pretty interesting concept, because there's long been a standing sort of perspective on fairway woods that are, they're intended to get the ball forward to a certain distance with a little bit more ease than, let's say, an iron or a hybrid. Rarely in my case, in my perspective of my chasing a fairway wood that would really launch and land soft. But I'm looking at it purely from my perspective, because I don't play past 3 or 5 wood, whatever it might be. I have friends who regularly play metal woods that that seek to land them softly, whether it's, some of them are in 9 woods, some of them are in hybrids of the same style. And their goal is like, I want to be able to promote the ball up, and then I want it to stop a little bit when it lands. And we talked a little bit about Ballyhack earlier. I mean, what a great example. They get it so firm over there at times of the year. It's like, dude, if you don't have that kind of shape to land it soft, I mean, there's an awful lot of long grass behind the green that you are going to have to deal with. And that, man, that's really interesting. Is 11 sort of the entry point? How far do you think you guys will take this?
I think 11 is probably about as far as we would go, right?
Good.
At that point, you're playing probably a game improvement to a super great game improvement iron anyway. Mm-hmm. And that's its sweet spot. That's right where you need to be. Where you just talked about, and when you've got firm, fast greens, you need that green stopping power. A lot of these golf courses have back to front sloping greens, right? So when you've hit it beyond, now you've got that tricky sidewinder coming down the hill. We want to be right at the pin. You want to be pin high. That's obviously optimal. If we're right there, maybe just short or maybe just past, that's still a very opportune spot to maybe make a birdie, save a par from maybe a mess up on a previous swing, right? Maybe we hit it in the water, we had to take a drop. We were giving you that ability to take dead aim from long range. And that's what we want to have. And that's why we're calling it the scoring wood. So long, you have your different setup in Quantum where we want to have that speed, we want to have that forgiveness, and that's that playable piece. You've got a Quantum 3-wood, Quantum Max 3-wood. You've got a Quantum Max 5-wood. You look at maybe a spinner in the 7 and 9 if you really need that help to stop the ball whenever you're hitting those shots into the green. I don't see this so much, Dan, as like a off-the-tee club. This is a scoring club, right? So we're trying to knock this on, on the green.
Yeah, I have a fairly painted picture on who I think this really helps. I mean, there are people I know are going to listen to this podcast and send me a text and say, yeah, exactly. That's what I'm looking for. But there are also a lot of golfers that I think love to experiment. They have the speed. They might struggle with launch or they might struggle with spin. How does this product accommodate the whole spectrum of speed?
Yeah, I mean, well, we just talked about it, right? It's being validated on the LPGA Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And then my example always is, like I was telling you, my dad, who's the aging golfer, but still a very avid golfer, that exact example, I think about a hole that he plays, it's about 175 yards, hits a great shot right at the pin, hits right on the front of the green, rolls out. This will fix that problem for him. And that's what I love about it the most. I called him about it. I said, hey, we got something coming. This is right up your alley for those longer par threes. You're going to feel like you're back to hitting a 5-iron, you know, right on the green. Like this is going to solve that roll through problem that you've been having. So
that's awesome.
I see it all over. And we have some high level, close to tour players on our influencer team, our content teams, that have already put this in the back. They're all about it. They know and see the opportunity when there's like a little bit of a gap in the bag, and it doesn't matter, you know, just because a slower swing speed, moderate swing speed golfer is using it, doesn't mean it can't work for more of a high level elite player. Like that's the real thing about what we're doing here. It's a very niche product, but it's all about spin, and it's about long game spin, and it's about having you being able to score from long distance.
Do you think that's one of the bigger challenges in golf product design, is convincing people that it actually might suit them, as opposed to forcing them to move outside of a window they've lived in for 10, 20, 30 years?
I think if you were to ask me that question, you know, 6 to 8 years ago, I would say yes. I think golfers are really starting to understand, and there's some certain levels of tour validation. There's, especially from a fitting side of things, more golfers are understanding the importance of getting fit. They're trusting their fitters, versus, well, you know, you would stand on a tee at a par three. Dan, what are you hitting? I'm going to hit a 6. All right. Well, I'm going to hit a 7. You know, like, I think that gone are the days of that. People want to play well. Like,
yeah.
And they're going to use the club that helps them play well. So I think gone are the days of people actually thinking, I need to hit it long and far. It's more about, I need to keep it in play. I need to optimize the 14 clubs in my bag so I can play my best.
Yeah.
I think golfers are really starting to understand that.
That sounds like an interaction we've had before. It might have been me asking what you're hitting, though. The muscle of 7 up there. That's great. I mean, it looks incredibly interesting. I think the what will fascinate golfers a lot is when they get it in hand and they see the carbon underneath and they don't see it on top. And that it's such a good visual to start asking questions to. I think that very visible presentation. And you talked about your sort of robust AI program platform that you work on. How much fun is it to just hear about those engineers throwing weight around, like, hey, we're going to throw it all everywhere, or we're going to take it all out of this very specific section and throw it here? Do you get some pretty wild stories from them on what happens to a club when you shift the weight like that?
Well, obviously, yes. And what's really cool is, like, when you look at like the quantum lineup, right? Each one of those face, that's not the same face. That Triforce is not the exact same Triforce in every one of those models. Those have all been tuned based on the needs. So a Max D is going to have that ability to help you launch it a little bit higher, while it does have a little bit of that draw bias piece to it. Yes, internal weighting helps with that, but each one of the faces is programmed for that. So when you look at Triple Diamond, that's going to be a little bit of a lower spinning face alongside weight more forward, right? To help reduce a little bit of spin and gain a little bit of speed and a little bit of control. Like the Triple Diamond player is not necessarily looking for the most forgiving driver. They want workable, they want versatile, and they want control. So that's really the beauty of the robustness of this AI supercomputer. I still think we need to give it some sort of a name, right? Like, it needs to have a name at this point. But I think that's what's really cool about what we're able to do. And that doesn't stop at drivers, fairways, and hybrids. We're doing it in all of our irons as well. And being able to output and pull levers and go out to ECPZ and see the testing and the validation of what they've done, you know, I think it's really, really cool.
What are the chances that we see this kind of concept continue to evolve? And I feel like this is one of those things where natural understanding of spin needs, especially from the individual golfer, is expanding just due to understanding and access to launch monitors at this point. So they're no longer just chasing that silly number in a bay. They're chasing their number in a bay. How can I improve my number in a bay? I assume this kind of concept is here to stay at this point.
It is, yeah. And we're going to continue to refine it and validate it through all of our testing as well. And that's what we were talking about, right? It's not chasing that long ball anymore. It's not a home run derby in those bays anymore. It's about precision. It's about finding that right model that fits your game. And that's the beauty of finding a good fitter. You know, they're really going to get you exactly what you need. They're going to validate every one of those clubs in the bag. You get out there and you can start shaving some strokes off your game. Like, well, having the right tools in the right place for the right moments in your rounds, or you're kind of silly not to do that at this point.
Yeah,
you're leaving strokes behind.
You talked about the right club for every player's bag, and I think it's important to at least talk a little bit about the irons that are currently in your bag, which also happen to be getting a nice little release here soon. They look insane. You want to talk about them?
Yeah, they're beautiful. And again, another product that has just been tour validated time after time after time at this point. You know, we've got some non-contracted players playing in this. This guy named Sam Burns, who was, runner up in the US Open, playing these irons. So Minwoo Lee, that's kind of where this whole groundswell started, is in his bag. And we're talking about the Apex MB, the Tour Roz. And it's a very, very fun iron. When you look at the construction, it's fairly simple, right? It's a single piece forging. At that high level of play, those guys want the ultimate feedback, right? That's what they're looking for, on top of the versatility when it comes into a muscle bag. So what I love most about this, I'm more of a sweeper golfer. I don't take much of a divot. What I love about this is when I do go down and I do need to really go after something, we have that Tour Trisole on there. And that allows that efficient turf interaction all the way through. So you're getting in, you're getting low, you're getting out. When I do go after something, I don't feel like it has dug on me. And what we want out of a muscle back, out of a blade iron, is that feeling of, wow, I hit that pure. And that doesn't just mean off the face, that means through the turf as well. And to really wrap a whole bow on that, they're going to raw out on you. They're going to look absolutely that tour sauce everybody wants. Whoa, what are those? Those are awesome. Those are sick, right? Like, that's what everybody says. So you've got that oxidation that's happening on those things as you play with them. You've got that ultimate feel from, obviously, the tour trisole plus the raw. It's a lot of fun, that setup.
What spawned in the idea to go raw? I feel like in times past, we see a lot of it on wedges. And to my understanding, especially on the tour side, the reason for that typically is that some players like very specific grinds, and you grind in their profiles and it doesn't look weird with the grinding through a finish as opposed to just grinding raw steel. What encourages this kind of concept to go into an iron?
You know, tour players can be demanding in some cases, but also at the same time, like, just like our computers are our resource to do our job, right? Their iron sets are their resource to do theirs, and we want to be able to give them every opportunity to play their best. And if they want a raw set because they think a chrome plating is doing something, because sometimes our heads, you know, the hardest part of the game is the 6 inches between our ears, and that gives them the opportunity to play with confidence. It allows them on the tour truck to maybe refine some of that sole geometry by player. you know, it's similar to the wedges. And there's just a certain feel aspect that those guys feel when it comes to a raw set.
It's obviously visually stunning. It's hard not to look at it and be incredibly impressed by it. When you mentioned they're in your bag, how long have they been in there, and has there been like a meaningful visual change to them yet?
I've had them in for about 2 months now, and yeah, there's some oxidation. Obviously, we live pretty close to the ocean over here, so this, you know, there's a little bit higher level of salinity, a little bit more vapors in the air, if you will, where we're going to get a little bit more of that as time goes on. But they're looking absolutely beautiful. The patina on them is great. You know, when I set the bag down, people are like, "Oh, what are those?" Which is kind of what you were talking about at the very beginning, right? You kind of want that, like, "Oh, what's in your bag? Like, what is that?"
Yeah,
that's always a kind of a fun conversation piece. But I'm always about the playability and being left-handed. I'm sometimes limited, no matter where you are in golf. Lefties always are, and that's going to happen, right? That's just the means of the industry. But when I saw these were coming, I was like, yes, those are going to be in my bag. It's just, there's something great about the workability of a muscle pack, like being able to hit that slinger hook if you need to, or cut something in, you know, and around, like, you're able to do it.
Yeah. The Trisole is such a fascinating piece of it, because from a pure workability standpoint, maybe people don't know this, but the Tour doesn't just work it left and right. They work it up and down. They control the amount they dig into the turf. Obviously, a couple jokes out there about guys who don't take divots and blah, blah, blah. But it, clearly, they want the ability to control the depth they take the club through it. My experience with a sole design that has a softer leading edge or softer trailing edge, it really supports that sort of failed aspect of, oh, maybe I took too much, or whatever it might be. So I've always found that the trisole are a varying sole to support more golfers as opposed to pull golfers away. Now, listen, muscle backs are what they are. They're a challenging product to hit, and I assume these aren't particularly long heel to toe, so you don't get a ton of heel to toe relief either. But I've always found that concept really expands the potential player to enjoy it more. Is that part of why it became such an important piece in it?
Yeah, and honestly, across the line now, you're seeing it from us. Quantum Max has it. Quantum Max OS has it. Max Fast. Those have what we're calling a progressive trisole. So depending on shaft lean, as the golfer, and this is all validated through testing, as the golfer is going down into the turf, based on the loft profile of the iron, we've conditioned that trisole to work by iron, not necessarily like, well, let's just put a trisole on that set. No, it's iron by iron, wedges included, that this is all put into. So then you look at X-Forged. X-Forged has trisole. It's a different type because it's a different type of player. So when you look at the whole line, trisole is very much something that we're into, and we're seeing efficiencies from it for golfers.
Is there a certain type of metal that you're using, or is it acoustically different than a lot of what you would hear based on the lack of finish on there? How much does that have an impact?
Not a ton. No, I mean, it's your standard 1025 forged steel. It's a one piece construction. So if anything, you're going to get a very solid feel out of it, as you would expect from a one-piece construction versus maybe a hollow body or a cavity back or a deep cavity back.
Now, people obsess. You guys aren't strangers to it. People obsess over different finishes. A variety of options is always a fun thing. Usually raw is in the first discussion point. Typically, the first one's a black finish of any kind. And then you know, raw kind of comes in later. I understand that it's a little bit more challenging for you guys because you have all that multi-material. It's not as easy to apply it. So wherein this product would be a little bit more easy because it's a single piece. You mentioned, or at least I think you might've mentioned to me earlier, this is quite limited. Is there any chance you guys have a little bit of fun with this and say like, hey, the raw did okay. Let's, let's turn the color wheel a little bit on it and see what happens.
Yeah, I think options are always open. And when you talk about the high limited nature, this is literally what's coming off the truck or supporting the truck. So whatever's on the truck is going into these golfers' bags that are looking for a setup like this. Mm. I think that's what's the most fascinating, right? It's straight from the truck. It's not just, hey, we're going to add a limited edition set. This is what the pros are playing. This is what they're demanding, right? Like, that's what's really cool about it to me. That's what's unique about it. So, yeah, we could add a black finish. We could add a orange finish. You know, we could spin the color wheel, but this is what the tour players are demanding from the truck. And that's what I think is really cool about this. It's like a box fell off of the truck and now we're going to sell it. that's kind of we're going to offer it up to golfers. It's very, very fun.
I love that. Well, what else is in the bag right now for you? We talked about, you have UW, which probably is one of those, over my dead body moments. It's probably not going anywhere. You got these unbelievable irons. What else are you playing right now?
I've got a Quantum Mini that I just added recently, and I've always been hesitant around mini drivers, but this one, like, I didn't play one in Elite. This one with StepSole has really gotten a hold of me. I'm playing it at a fairway or a 3-wood length, so at 43 inches. I'm playing it, so that's about an inch shorter than standard. Playing it at 43 inches. I'm playing it at 11.5 because I'm fortunate in the fact that I can launch a ball. Like, I can get it up in the air. I have no issue with that. But I'm playing it at a shorter, so if I need to, like, really find that fairway that maybe runs out at, you know, a certain number where the UW is too short and driver's too long, this is that absolute sweet spot. But what's so cool about that StepSole on the Mini, and, you know, I've always been that Apex UW guy. I've always talked about that on these podcasts. The Mini is starting to kind of rival favoritism in the bag right now.
Really?
It is. And what's fun about it is, like, I can hit it off the deck and it hits like a 3-wood. And that's what I think is really, really cool about it. But if I want it off a tee, I tee that thing down just a little bit and we can find a fairway with it. And finding that versatility in a club that looks like a driver is it's kind of bonkers in my head, but it is working and it's working really, really well.
Yeah, there is definitely a lot of play in mini drivers right now. There's, obviously it's called a mini driver, so it should have some sort of driver profile to it, but that definition is incredibly loose for company to company. I feel like Callaway, and I actually just sat and watched a buddy go through a fitting and end up buying one because he hit it so stinking well. That definitely leans on that sort of driver side profile, which I think benefits him because he was looking for that driver power in something he could control the head a little bit more in, because he's a bit of a spaz and I hope he listens to this. But, you know, it's fun how unique the experience can be. And as you guys explore that, and as every company explores that, where you land, especially based on your product line, you clearly have your version of what mini means to you. And I think it'd be fun to hear on THP what they think of what means to them. More importantly, what fairway means to them, because I assume the discussion will be pretty heavy on these mini spinners, which is a lot of fun.
But I think so too. I think there's such an opportunity there. But what I was going to say real quick about mini that I think that's really cool, it's literally the definition between a fairway, like this year specifically, is the definition between a fairway and a driver, that mini driver. You've got Triforce face ported from driver. You've got the StepSole ported from fairways. You've got a front weight ported from fairways. You've got the adjustability ported from fairways. You've got a bigger head size ported from driver. Like, it is really the culmination of a driver and a 3-wood coming together and finding that right little spot in the bag. And we've talked, you know, it's funny, we should almost call this the Niche Clubs podcast. For, you know, we've talked about blades. We've talked about mini spinner and mini driver. And those are all niche, but I think we're doing that category, or those categories, those opportunities and bags really, really well right now. Gets me fired up, if you can't tell.
It makes a lot of sense that you guys would go there. You have never been afraid to not only explore, but also release limited edition stuff. some triple diamond variances, the triple diamond max. Like there's never been a fear for you guys to at least experiment and try and see if it lands in people's golf bags. That's one of the things that I think is incredibly cool, is like, you know, there's no need for you to have that insight and explore that way and not allow people to say, hey, does it fit in my bag? Even though it's challenging from a fitting perspective, from a SKU perspective, there's a lot of challenges there, but I'm grateful that you guys try it, because it, unfortunately for me, or fortunately for me, it always ends up at least one piece a year always ends up in the bag, because it's just it's hard not to fit something like a glove.
Right. I mean, you know, when you look at how we validate things, a lot of it comes from tour validation. And if we start to see a little bit of a groundswell on tour, okay, there's maybe an opportunity for golfers that aren't playing at that high level, that can't just go onto the tour truck and have something built. We start to see something really kind of pick itself up and pace itself. Okay, let's give it a shot. Let's see what golfers think about it. Let's tell them the story of why it was created, right? Mm-hmm. So as we all know, the why is the most important. Why did you make it, right? Well, here's why, right? Mini spinner, why did you make it? Well, we had a demand from an LPGA Tour player in Japan for an opportunity to add some more spin to her long game. Okay, wow, there's a couple of other players now adding that. Well, we're seeing some testing from a consumer level that's working out really, really well. Okay, they're going to sell it in Japan. Well, this is a great opportunity for us to add it to our line, because our golfers need the same benefits, and we're seeing that. So it's pretty cool how you kind of can see the evolution of from here's an idea to in golfers' bags. That's what, I mean, that's why I get up in the morning, right? That's my favorite part about my job.
Love it. Hey, one more question for you, because I've been a bit guilty of chasing them this year. What's your favorite limited edition golf ball you guys have done so far?
Oh, I mean, you got to see a little bit of a USA 250 there, because it's only going to happen once, right?
Yeah, man.
We can iterate on you know, all of our different majors and things like that. I mean, second would have to be, there it is right there. Second would have to be Canadan holding a USA 250 box. Just makes me happy.
Yeah.
second, you know, just as a Georgia boy, it would have to be, you know, the spring major, as we like to call it. I think that was executed very, very well by Jason and Jen on our golf ball team.
Mm, yeah, that was fun to see the variance. Yeah, as soon as I saw the 250s, I thought I had to get some for to celebrate the 4th of July. So I had them out there this past weekend. And, well, I guess during that time, since this won't be dropped consistently with the current timeline, but it's just too much fun, man. Like, you guys are clearly enjoying that. Finley's a chaotic individual, but we love him to death. You know, it's for me, it's the great part. Last year, I was obsessed with the Queen City balls from Quail Hollow.
Yeah,
actually, I have a couple dozen that I just picked up, but I think that's fun. So you'd say USA 250 first, and then spring major second.
Yeah, the April major second. Yeah,
April major. But I assume you're biting your tongue because you have something we can't wait to see that we haven't seen yet, right?
There's some fun stuff in the queue, as they like to say.
Sure. Buddy, I always appreciate you coming on. It's such a fun chat to connect and understand what you guys are trying to accomplish. Seeing Mini Spinner looks wild. I mean, I think there's at least a handful of guys I'm going to link to our homepage review or this podcast to talk and say, like, really, really consider this. I think it checks a lot of boxes for people. And yeah, I can't wait to see pictures of these irons, man, when they fully, what's the right word, cultivate.
When they come to life, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I it's always a pleasure on my side, man. It's always good catching up. And, you know, it's when we get up in the morning, we love talking product, right? And this is always a great and comfortable place to be able to do it.
Love it. Hey, if you guys are playing golf this weekend, have a great time. And if you struggle with your long irons, getting them high in the air and landing them soft, you feel like you're just using them to get the ball forward, not feeling like they're scoring at all, I would seriously take a look at Callaway Quantum Mini Spinner. Quite a few launch options or loft options. And I'll tell you what, man, take a look, pay attention to where the materials are, because there is a very visual difference between that and the current Quantum lineup. Take a look. We'll chat about you on THP, and we'll see you guys next week.
Now it's time to send it over to Don Brown for this week's Shaft Education, brought to you by True Temper.
Hey, THP, Don Brown, back here with another Shaft University, hosted by True Temper. This week's question is about someone that had to switch to graphite because of some wrist injuries they had. They're currently in a Project X product that we don't make anymore, so they're asking for something in that 90 gram weight range in graphite. And we got a bunch of different options that just don't necessarily say Project X on them. One option that a lot of people love is our steel fiber line. So we have that in a wide variety of weights, including in that 90 gram weight range you're looking for. Great thing there is you get the dampening of graphite, but you have the stability of steel because you've got that steel fiber wrapped around the outside. We also have our new Nexus product in steel fiber. It's steel fiber only in the handle, so stability up there, but a little bit more playability, a little bit softer in the bottom hand. That could be just what you're looking for. And as always, if you're looking for the entire library of options, go check out the Acro line. We've got everything from 40 grams to 125 grams in a variety of profiles, colors. Hell, you can even customize some of them. So those are our options for you. I hope you find something that works. Talk to you guys next time.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.